Reishis Masechta Nozer Daf Samach Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Samach Beis on the Beis at the bottom of the Amid at the Mishnah, the Mishnah at the bottom of the Amid. Our Mishnah continues to discuss the concept, the issue that we discussed at the end of the previous year, and that is that the halach is that an Eved Kanani can be a Nazir, but the halach is also that his owner could protest at any time. Says the Mishnah, Ovi Mekneged Panav, if the Eved ran away, Renei Omer, in other words, we have an Eved who accepted upon himself Nazirus and then ran away from his owner, Renei Omer, Renei says, Lo Yishta, as long as he is no longer in the domain of the owner, he may not drink wine, he has to act as a Nazir. Rabbi Yossi disagrees and he says, Yishta, he may drink while he's no longer under the domain of his owner, since the owner is protesting against the Naziris. And the Karen Ira explains the Mishnah very beautifully. He says, certainly, if there was a situation that the Eved had accepted upon himself Naziris, and the owner never protested, and then he runs away, so the Eved certainly has to remain a Nazir. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation, explains the Karen Ira, where the Eved had accepted upon himself Naziris, the owner protested, and then the Eved ran away, and we have a machlokes from Meir and Rabbi Yossi, does the Eved have to act as a Nazir or not? Says the Gemara, but the Shmukim is key. Perhaps the subject of the machlokes or Meir and Rabbi Yossi evolves around a concept that Shmuel said, Dom Shmuel, Hamafka Avdei Yotzul Cheres. And the way that Rishonim explain the Gemara is as follows. According to Shmuel, if an Eved runs away, we assume that the owner was Miyash. He gave up on getting the Eved back. And as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, in Masechta the Gittin, to emancipate an Eved, to free an Eved, requires typically a Get Shichur. However, Shmuel says we don't have to necessarily go through that whole process. And if the owner just was Miyash, that is enough to assume that the Eved is no longer an Eved. So the Gemara wants to say, that is the basis of the machlokes between Ramei and Rabbi Yossi. According to Ramei, he doesn't hold of Rabbi Shmuel. And just because the Eved ran away, and just because the owner was Miyash, doesn't mean that the Eved is free. He's still an Eved. And if he's still an Eved, and the owner protested, he may not drink wine. Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara, however, wants to say, holds that as soon as the Eved ran away and the owner was Miyayish, the Eved is no longer an Eved. It is no longer an Eved, so the owner is not in position to prevent him from being a Nazir. Rameyer is Slay the Shmuel. Rameyer holds that, like Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi is Slay the Shmuel. Says the Gemara, Lay. The Kulam is Slay the Shmuel. Everybody could conceptually agree with Shmuel. And everybody could agree that if he was Miyayish, the Eved is free. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation where the Eved ran away, but the owner was not Miyayish. And since the owner was not Miyayish, the Eved is certainly still an Eved. Just what is the Machlokes? The one that says that he should continue drinking wine and he should not act as a Nazir, Sof Meheder Hader. The owner was Miyayish. The owner is assuming and hoping that the Eved is going to come back. So he's going to come back. And therefore, the owner wants him, even now while he's a fugitive, to continue drinking wine, in order that the Eved shouldn't get weakened. Because the owner is waiting that the Eved's coming back. And I want him to be a good, strong Eved. How will he be a good, strong Eved if he has all the nourishment he needs while he's not here? And the stipler says, a gewalt de gewalt. He says, the Gemara here is giving us a perspective. The Gemara is giving us a perspective on what is the relationship between an Eved and his owner, and where actually it's a perspective between an employer and an employee. He says, we're used to thinking that what is an Eved? An Eved has to do what his owner tells him. What is an employee? He has to do hopefully, what his employer tells him to do. He says it's so much more. He says an eved, that's exactly what the Gemara is saying, has to make sure that he's healthy, that he's strong, so that he should be able to fulfill his position. An employee, it's not just an employee is a good employee if he does what he's supposed to do, if he does what he's told. An employee has to make sure that he's healthy and well, that in order that he should be able to accomplish his job properly. And that's why even that Eved is a fugitive. He's certainly not working, he ran away. But he still has to be healthy and strong for when he's coming back. However, Rameyah says that he shouldn't drink. Suffer. Lehevelet Sarah. The owner's thinking is, let him suffer. Let him not drink the wine. He wants to give him a reason to come back. So if the Eved is going to have to not drink wine, it's going to affect him. He's going to say, you know what, maybe I'm better off going back to my owner, who will protest my naziris, and I'll be able to drink wine. So Mepharshim asked the obvious question. This Eved accepted naziris upon himself. Nobody forced him. He accepted naziris by himself. So obviously, he doesn't consider not drinking wine to be a problem. Because if he thought not drinking wine were a problem, he would have never accepted naziris upon himself. So how is the owner hurting him by telling him, be a nazir, don't drink wine? He doesn't. He knew he's not going to be able to drink wine. So Farshim say, also perspective. Many times people get into situations, they accept upon themselves situations that they really weren't ready for. Yes, this Eved accepted upon himself naziris from his own free will. Assuming, yes, I could do it, I won't drink wine. And now he really sees that it isn't that easy. And that's why he's stuck. And that's why he's going to maybe come back in order to be able to drink wine, because his owner will protest his naziris. It's interesting to note that the Yerushalmi, this is not an Al Gemara, but the Yerushalmi has a very different way of explaining the Machlokes of Rameh and Rabbi Yossi. We've been learning, as we said in our introductory remarks today, Shir, in the last number of Shir, that the owner of an Eved Kanani has the authority to limit the Eved Kanani's naziris. We also know, as we start coming towards the end of our Masechta, that naziris has many rules: not drinking wine, not being tamei, not taking a haircut. While we're halacha, the owner exercises his authority, and he says to the Eved, "I want you to drink wine," but he doesn't say anything about haircuts. He doesn't say anything about tumas meisim. How do we understand that situation? The Gemara Yerushalmi wants to say is the machlokes. Do we say that since the owner protested one aspect of the naziris, that nullifies the entire naziris, and the Eved doesn't have to keep any aspects of the naziris? Or do we say the aspect that he nullified, so he had to protested, he has the right? But what he didn't say anything about, the Eved will still have to follow through. The Yerushalmi wants to suggest that that's perhaps the machlokes of Meir Rabbi Yossi. We begin now the sugya of Tumas Tahaim. Tumas Tahaim means a tumma, as the word Tahaim implies. Tahaim means the depths. It's a tumma that's deep, that we don't recognize, we don't see, and it has special halachas, as we will learn in today's shir. Says the Mishnah, Nazir Shigileich, we have a Nazir who completed his entire process. It was a Nazir, he brought the kabbonis, he took a haircut, and then the Nazir was Shutamei. And then he discovers that he's Tamei. In Tumi Yadua, if he becomes aware that he became Tamei, the Tumi that he should have been aware of, the Halach is Saiser. It causes him to forfeit his entire naziris. However, if it was a tumas tahaim, and we have to be very careful in understanding what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah is saying a number of conditions. Number one, it has to be tumas tahaim, which we just explained is a tumah that a person doesn't recognize and isn't aware of. Number two, it's only a tumas tahaim that he became aware of after he completed his naziris. Were it to become, as the Mishnah says in the moment, were it to become tumei, even with a tumas tahaim, Well, before he completed his nazirus, it wouldn't make a difference if it was a tumah yaduah or a tumah tahayim. The only reason we're being nakel is because it's a tumah tahayim after he completed the nazirus. Then, ein esaisim. Then the din is that it doesn't forfeit the nazirus. However, if he became tumah, whether it was with a tumah tahayim or whether it was with a tumah yaduah, actually, Gileach, before he completed the Naziris, Galochias Benkach or Benkach Soyser, then under both circumstances, it will be Halacha, like any other situation that we've discussed, if a Nazir becomes Tomei, that it causes him to forfeit the days that he already kept. Says the Mishnah, Ketzad, what does that mean? Yorah Litva B'Mara. We have a person who had on himself a tumah sheretz. He had touched the sheretz. The halacha is that if somebody touches one of the shmonei shvatzim, he has to go to the mikvah and then have harav shemesh. And he went to the mikvah. The nimcha meis tzafa prima ara. And as Tosfos explains the Mishnah, Tosfos explains the Mishnah in the following way. He says this person recognizes his tumah, and that's why he's going to the mikvah. To matar himself. So we would assume that such an individual, as he's going to the mikveh, is going to make sure that everything is fine in the mikveh. If he comes out of the mikveh, and then we discover there's a tumah floating in the mikveh, we're machmer, and we say that he's tameh. Even though we would assume that he checked what he did, the halach is that he's tameh, and we'll discuss in a moment why. Nimtza mishuk b'kaka hamara. Again, nimtza meis tzofa pi hamara tomei. Nimtza mishuk b'kaka hamara. If, however, he found a tumah not to be visible, rather it's a tumah that was dug deep in the ground, then the halacha is yod lehoket tahar. Even if he went into just cool himself off, he will be tahor. And again, let's explain how Tosfos explains the Mishnah. Here we're referring to an individual that went to the mikveh not because he wanted to mitar himself. He went to the mikveh because of the swimming pool, to cool himself off. Here the Mishnah is telling us that if it's discovered that it's a tumas hatayim, the tumah was underground, then we make it. So what the Mishnah is teaching us is that when we have a suffic tumah, there's a nafkamina. If it's a tumas tahayim, then he's tahor. If it's not a tumas tahayim, he's tamei. So the question is, why we're making by tumas tahayim, as we're going to learn the Gemara Mitzvah soon, is because that's a halach l'mashe m'sinai. But we're making by tumas tahayim. Why, if it's a tumah that's not tumas tahayim, it was something floating on the water, so it's not tumas tahayim, we're machmer, we find a machlokes rishayim. Tosfos says the reason is because it's a suffix tumah b'shus hayachid. We're dealing that this mikvah is a b'shus hayachid, and as we've been learning, based on the halacha of a saita, suffix tumah b'shus hayachid is tamei. That's Tosfos' explanation. The Rambam's explanation is not because we say suffix tumah b'shus hayachid is tamei. Rather, the Rambam explains is that this person that went into the mikvah was tamei, so he has a cheskes tumah, and he remains with that cheskes tumah. Explains Reb Chaim Oizer and Achiezer. Beautiful explanation. What is the machloikis between Tosfos and the Rambam? He says as follows. We just quoted the famous rule that Sofet Tomei B'Shus HaYochid is Tomei. So the question is, how do we look at that rule? Do we look at that rule as an absolute thing? If somebody has a Sofet Tomei B'Shus HaYochid, the halacha considers them Tomei no less than the individual who we know for sure is tamei. That's one way of understanding that rule. Or another way of understanding that rule is that sofek tumah b'shus hayachid is tamei, not an absolute rule. Whenever it's a chumrah, we're machmer, and we consider him a tamei. But let's say, by following the rule of sofek tumah b'shus hayachid is tamei, we'll have a kula, then we won't be able to follow that rule. This is such an example, explains Reb Chaim Oizer. Because let's say we have this Nazir, who went to the mikveh. So if we say Safek Tamei B'Shus HaYakar is Tamei, so all the halachas of a Nazir Tamei apply to him. What are one of the halachas of a Nazir Tamei that we've been discussing so many times? A Nazir Tamei takes a shave that he's over the lava, Lysakifa Bas Rashkam. But the Torah said, as we discussed, as the Dachal likes to say, that a Nazir Tamei should take such a shave. So if the halach is that Nazir Tamei, Safek Tamei B'Shus HaYakar is Tamei, he's a full-fledged Tamei, so he's treated like no different than any other Nazir Tamei. However, if we only say it, L'chumra, here it's a kula, to consider him Tamei. Says the Achiezer, that's Machlokes Tosfos in the Rambam. So according to the Rambam, we can't treat him as a Nazir Tamei. Because by treating him like a Nazir Tamei, we have a kula. There's going to be allowed to take the haircut. Says the Rambam, you know why he's allowed to take the haircut? Not because of Safek Tamei B'Shus HaYakar. Because Safek Tamei B'Shus HaYakar cannot cause kulas. The reason we treat him, allow him to take a haircut, is because he has a cheskas tumah. Chazaka, we can rely on to be considered a full-fledged tummy. Continue the Mishnah. Litar Thomas Mace. Let's say, however, you had somebody who was a Thomas Mace, and he went to the mikveh, and then he finds that there was tumah even underground, tumah. The halach is there is tumah, shecheskas tumah tumah, shecheskas tar tar. We rely here on the chazaka, shereglayim udavar. We say that since he was tumah and tumah was found, we keep on that chazaka that he was tumah. That's if it was, as the Rishonim explained, he was a tumah mace versus it was just a tumah sheretz. There's a very famous marit based on this Mishnah. The marit, the Shef Shemait discusses this marit at great length, says there's a question in halacha of machzikin and the iser iser. If somebody is in one status of iser, do you automatically transfer him into another status of iser? And he says that's the case of our Mishnah. Well, this person went to the mikveh, went to the mikveh properly. Just there was another tumah found underground in the mikveh, and we say that that other tumah automatically takes over where the first tumah left off. So it's a raya that machzik in the tumah l'tumah. The Shef Shemaitza disagrees with the merit. He said this is not a situation of machzik in the tumah l'tumah. Where we say machzik in the tumah l'tumah, that we transfer to one type of tumah to another type of tumah. Here both situations of tumah are identical. He was a tumah mace, and a mace was found in the mikveh. That's not a situation of machzik in the tumah l'tumah, that's all tumah's mace. That's how the Shef Shemaitza disagrees with merit. Rav Shimon Shkop and the Shari Yosha has a different reason to disagree with the Marit. Beautiful explanation. He says, in Halacha, in the Gemara, many times we find the concept of Toivel v'Sheretz b'Yodai. Somebody goes to mikveh holding on to the Sheretz, that it's a meaningless act of Tefillah, if he's holding on to a Sheretz. So the question is, how do we view that meaningless act? If we want to think about it, there are two ways of looking at it. One way of looking at it, that the person went to the mikveh, he was metal himself, and he automatically becomes tummy again, because sheretz b'yada, because he's holding the sheretz. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it, is that somebody that's holding on to that sheretz, never became tall. What kind of act of tefillah is that, if you're holding the sheretz? Says the Rav Shimon, that's Pshat HaRam Mishnah. If somebody who's tamei and goes to the mikveh, and in the bottom of that mikveh there's a mace, it's not pshat that he went to the mikveh and then became tamei. His entire act of tefillah is a meaningless act if you go into the mikveh that way. And that's why, says Rav Shimon, we don't have a rai machzik in this lister, he was never tall. His act of tefillah was meaningless. Says the Gemara, not immediately. So our Mishnah introduced this concept that we're going to delve into in Mitzvah Hashem, of Tumas Tahayim. What is the source, asked the Gemara, of Tumas Tahayim? Honor of Elazar, the Amakra, the Pasuk says, regarding a Nazir, the Chiyamas of Mesel of a Pesach Pesayim, a Nazir who's now going to be Tamei, walks into a house, where nobody is sick even, and suddenly, Rachman al-Islam, somebody dies, he becomes Tamei, and all the halachas of a Nazir Tumah apply. So the Pasuk uses the words, Olav, it has to be tumah that's clear, that's obvious. That is the only source of tumah. I saw a very interesting vart, a chassidish pshat, in this pasuk. As we've been discussing in this mesechta so many times, accepting upon himself nazirus is not necessarily a commendable act. We learned already at the beginning of the mesechta. Say to mefarshim, here you have a person, goes to a house, he's a nazir, goes to a house, Baruch Hashem, everybody's going to visit, is well and healthy, and all of a sudden somebody dies. Totally unexpected. There's a message here. You accepted upon yourself, nazirus, something that you shouldn't have. And there are going to be serious repercussions. You're going to become tamei, even though you didn't expect to become tamei. Rish Lakish has a different source for the halach of Tumas Tohim. Rish Lakish Amar Makra, the Pasuk says regarding Pesach Sheni, that people, says the Pasuk, who are unable to bring the current Pesach Rishon, ki yeh tamei renefesh, because they were tamei, or derech rechayka, they were far away from the Beis Hamikdash and not bring the current Pesach. So the Pasuk compares tamei ki derech. Ma derech begori, just like a derech, a road, is seen, hopefully when somebody's on the road he sees what's going on. Af kol begoli. Tumma is only considered tumma when it's obvious. It's very interesting to note. According to, we have almost the exact same sugya that we're learning here in Masechta Pesachim, Daf Pei Aleph. In our Gemara, we have a machlokes, Rabbi Elazar and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Elazar says that the source of Tumas Tohaim is from Nazir. Rish Lakish says the source for Tumas Tohaim is from Pesach Sheni. And the Gemara, in fact, in a moment, is going to say to Nafkaminus what the source is. It's interesting, in the Sechta Pesachim, the Gemara learns that these two sources actually complement each other. And Rabbi Elazar and Rish Lakish are not necessarily arguing, they're just combining a combination of these two sources serve as the source for Tumas Tohaim. Continues the Gemara. El Hod Tan, it's actually on the side, it says a Tanya, it says in a Brisa, Eze Tumas Tohaim, what is the definition of Tumas Tohaim? Kol She'ena Makira Echad B'Saif Olam. No one in the world knows about this Tumah. Ava Makira Echad B'Saif Olam, if there's anyone that's aware of this Tumah, Eze Tumas Tohaim. And as the Rishonim explain, it's a lot more just that I know or I don't know if somebody's aware of this Tumah. If there's a possibility that someone is aware of this Tumah, then it's not Tumas Tohaim. Says the Gemara. Mishlam al-Mandam ki derech. According to the Mandam that says that the source of Tumas Tohaim is because we compare it to a road. So we understand Shapur. As soon as somebody is aware of this Tumah, it's like a road. It's something that's about obvious. El-Mandam, according to the Mandam, that says the definition of Tumas Tohaim depends on Mechuveres Lai, that it's clear to you. So what's the difference? What's the difference? If Tumma has to be Mechuveres Lai, I have to see the Tumma for it to be considered Tumma. And if I don't see the Tumma, if the Tumma is not visible to me, it's not Tumma, so what's the difference if somebody else in the world could see it? One question. Vesu, another question. How the Tanya says in the Braisa, Hamaitzi Neis Mushkov, L'Rach V'Shaderech. We're going to discuss this more with Shimon Amid Beis. If there's a mace laying that takes up the entire width of the road, so anybody who traveled on that road certainly walked over that mace. When they excavated the road, they see there's a mace there. The Tumah Tamei, so it's a Tumah's time. By Tumah, he'll be Tamei. And the Nazir of the Seas Pesach, Tohar. Because it's a Tumah's time. So the question is, Mashna, why is there a difference by Tumah that we consider him Tamei, even though it's a Tumas Tohaim, and by Nazir Pesach, we don't consider him Tamei. And as the Rishonim point out, the Gemara could have asked more questions. The Gemara could have asked, why in our Mishnah do we differentiate between the individual who had a Tumas Sheretz and then was confronted with Tumas Tohaim, that we say he's Tohar, versus the person who had a Tumas Meis and he's confronted with Tumas Tohaim and we say he's Tamei? If Tumas Tohaim is not a Tumah, why are we differentiating if he's a Tamei Sheretz or Tamei Meis? Says the Gemara, as we said when we learned the Mishnah, Tumas Tohaim, Gemara Gemirle, Tumas Tohaim is a Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, there is no specific logic, and certain times it's tamei, certain times it's tar, and we have to follow the set of rules. I asked the Rishonim, we started this Gemara quoting two psukim that we used as the source for Tumas Tahayim. So how is the Gemara considering it a halacha l'mashim Sinai? Say to Mefarshim, it must be that the real source is halacha l'mashim Sinai. And these two psukim are only asmachtas, backup sources, but not the primary source. It's very interesting, it's not really relevant to Pshat in the Gemara, but it's a cute tshuva. There's a tshuva from the Shas of Tshuva Torah Lishma that discusses the following question. We know that Eliyahu HaNavi is sometimes a malach, and sometimes Eliyahu HaNavi comes to this world, there are many Gemaras, Midrashim, like a regular person. The question that he discusses is when Eliyahu HaNavi comes to our world and he looks like a regular person, is he considered a malach at that time or is he considered a person at that time? What would be a nafkamina? A nafkamina is, could that person be part of a minion? Only people could be part of a minion. A malach can't be part of a minion. So Shaul Shachuz Torah Lishma wants to bring the raya that when Eliyahu HaNavi comes to this world, even though he looks like a person, he's really a malach. What's the raya? He says, look at our Gemara. The Gemara said that what is the definition of Tumas Tahayim? Something that nobody in the world knows about. Eliyahu HaNavi knows everything. So if Eliyahu HaNavi knows, is considered a person, how will we ever have a situation of Tumas Tahayim? By definition, it could never happen. Eliyahu HaNavi will know. And we're saying Eliyahu HaNavi is a person. Must be, says the Shas of Tshuva Torah Lishma, that Eliyahu HaNavi is a malach, even when he looks like a person, and therefore, even though he knows, that doesn't mean any humans know, because Eliyahu HaNavi is a malach, not a person. So we learned in the Mishnah that if the person became aware of the tumah, was exposed to tumas tahayim, and he became aware of it before he took a haircut, then the halach is that he's tamei. However, if he found out about it afterwards, he's not tamei. Says the Gemara, man tana. Who's the Tana of our Mishnah? Om Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lezihi. The Tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Lezer. Because as we learned earlier in the Masechta, on Daf Yud Daled, according to the Rabbanan, as soon as the Nazir brings his Kabbonis, he's no longer a Nazir. According to Rabbi Lezer, it's just not enough that he should bring the Kabbonis. He actually has to undergo the Taglachas. So according to Rabbi Lezer, Dom the Taglachas Ma'akevis, he has to take the haircut. So our Mishnah, that makes a difference before the haircut versus after the haircut, obviously represents the opinion of Rabbi Lezer. That's the haircut, that's the defining moment. Because according to Rabban, it's not the haircut, it's the kabbonis. But before we go further, here in this halacha that I just quoted, a machlokes Rabbi Lezer Rabbanan, Rabbi Lezer is the machmer. You have to have the haircut to be considered no longer a nazir. But if you will recall, we learned another machlokes between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbanan. Let's say a person is after Malois. It's after the term of Nazirus. He didn't bring his Kabbonis, didn't take his haircut, and becomes Tamei. What is the din? According to Rabbi Lezer, he only has to keep 7 days. According to Rabbanan, he has to keep 30 days. Actually, in that machlokes, Rabbi Lezer is the Mekel, and Rabbanan are the Machmir. Now the Gemara, taking all of these facts into consideration, tries to understand what our Mishnah is saying. Boy, Rabbi Bachama, what would be the halacha if Nitin B'Toich Malois, somebody became Tamei during his term of Nazirus, however, V'Noideloi L'Achim Malois, he only becomes aware of this Tumah, that he was exposed to Tumas Tahayim, after the Nazirus ends. Do we say Bosi Adiyus Linen? We go after the time that he became aware of the Tumah, and the idea Achim Alois was afterwards, and he would only forfeit 7 days. Oloi. Or do we say, since he actually became Tamei before the Tumah, before the Nazirus was over, it's the Halacha as if he became Tamei during the term of Nazirus, that the Halacha even Rabbi Lezer, it's a pasuk in the Torah, says that that forfeits the entire Nazirus. Lamai, Lamister. And the Nafkamina will be, is he, well, how much is he Soser? 7 days or the entire Nazirus? And as the Rishonim point out, the question the Gemara is asking would also be a question according to the Rabbanan. And they explain. Because even according to Rabbanan, there is some difference between somebody whose Tamei becomes Tamei during his term of Nazirus versus somebody who becomes Tamei after his term of Nazirus. Because Rabbanan, the halach is, again, it's a pasuk in the Torah, that if somebody becomes Tamei during his term of Nazirus, the example we always give, somebody who accepted upon himself a Nazirus of 100 days, and becomes Tamei in day 99, has to start from scratch. What happens if he becomes Tamei after the term? Even if he accepted a 100-day Nazirus, even the Rabbanan who are more stringent than Rebbe Lezer, will hold he only has to keep 30 days, not 100 days. So now the same question comes up. The person became Tamei before, he was exposed to Tumah before his term ended, but he only became aware of it afterwards. So how much will he be Saiser? Will he be Saiser all 100 days? Only 30 days. Why did the Gemara explain to Rishonim choose to ask the question according to Rebbe Lezer, not according to Rabbanan? Because as we said a moment ago, the Gemara said that our Mishnah clearly follows the opinion of Rebbe Lezer, because the Mishnah ties it to taking the haircut. So since our Mishnah is obviously following the opinion of Rebbe Lezer, so when the Gemara asked the question, and asked the question according to Rebbe Lezer. But it's a valid question, even according to Rabbanan. On the Rebbe, Tashma, let's learn what it said in our Mishnah. It said in our Mishnah, Imat Shiloh Gileach, if he became Tamei before he took the haircut, Benkach Saiser. It causes him to forfeit his Naziris. So now let's analyze what our Mishnah says. Hechidami, what exactly is the case of the Mishnah? If he became aware of his Tumah during the term of Nazirus, says the Gemara, Srichra Neymar, does our Mishnah have to tell us that such an individual is Tumah? That's the classical case of somebody becoming Tumah, that we've discussed, that a Nazir becomes Tumah, or the Alachis. Elalav. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation, Lachmalais. And still, Shema Mina, that after he, if he becomes aware of his Tumah, after he finishes his Nazirus, as long as that Tumah took place during his term, he's considered a Nazir Tameh. However, says the Gemara, and this is where we should explain the Gemara, we haven't quite finished answering our question. Because of Brian Kibaylach, fine. Certainly if he became Tamei during his term of his Nazirus, the fact that he only becomes aware of it after his term doesn't change that he's Tamei. But the question is, and that it causes him to forfeit. The question is, how much does it cause him to forfeit? Does it cause him to forfeit, again, we're asking according to Rebbe Lezer, only 7 days or 30 days? Kula Saiser, as if he was only Tamei after he finished the term, a Shiva Saisa. Does he forfeit the entire Nazirus or only a Shiva Saisa? Says the Gemara, the man. And again, as we said before, Elam the Rabbanan, according to Rabbanan, it's not a Shaila. Pshita the Kula Saisa. Why is it Pasha that it's Kula Saisa? Because the Rabbanan say that anyone who becomes Tamei after the term is up has to keep 30 days. So certainly this individual who became Tamei during the Nazirus term just became aware of it afterwards, will have to keep the whole 30 days. The question is, Rebbe Lezer, who treats this person differently, what will be his din? Eli Rebbe Lezer, isn't the halacha, according to Rebbe Lezer, call Achim Elois, that whenever he becomes Tamei after his term is up, Shiva Saiser. Says the Gemara, that exactly is the question. Because Amaloch, Hani Mili, when does Rebbe Lezer say that if a person becomes Tamei after the term is up, he's only Tamei for 7 days? That's Kinit Ma'achim Elois, when he only became Tamei after the term is over. However, the Ha'ilif Neim Eloisu, here he became Tamei before the term is up. Here Rebbe Lezer will agree that he forfeits the entire Nazirus. Or Idoma, or perhaps, Shani Hocha, the Yediyah Achim Elois, the Maldiyah, since he only became aware of the Tumah after the term was up, even though he became Tamei before, since he only became aware of this Tumah Tahayim afterwards, he only be Tamei 7 days. Uminoktani, and what's the answer to the question? The answer to the question is, Ben Kach or Ben Kach Saiser. like Mufki. The Mishnah says that we always follow the Yediyah. And the Mishnah, says the Gemara, doesn't start differentiating what was the case. The Mishnah says as long as it was a Tumas Tahayim, and as long as it was a Yediyah, as long as the idea of the Tumas Tahayim, the awareness of the Tumas Tahayim, only came after the term, he doesn't have to be Saiser or 30 days, he Saiser 70 days. But the Karam Ira points out that even though here we have a Kula in 1 degree of Rebbe Lezer, the Rebbe Lezer is saying, just to review, that if somebody became Tamei with a Tumas Tahayim during his term, but only became aware of that after his term, he won't forfeit all 30 days, or the whole Naziris, only forfeit 7 days, that has no impact, says the Karnai and the Kabbanis. Kabbanis, he'll have to bring like a Nazir Tamei, that the halach is that a Nazir Tamei, as we've discussed so many times, has to bring a whole series of Kabbanis. Tanei Rabban, so as we quoted the Braisa on Amud Aleph, if there's a mace laying flat across the width of the road, as far as Chum is Tameh, with the Nazabai says Tar, Pesach Tar, says the Gemara, says the Braisa, qualifying this then, the Medvar Amurim, Sh'ein Loi Mokum Laver, that the mace is laying the entire width of the road, so if I walked over this road, I must have been now, I must have been over a mess. There's no way that I could walk over the road without having done that. Ava Yeshlo Mokum Laver, let's say the mace doesn't take up the entire width of the road. We can have a number of examples. Let's say the road is 10 feet wide, and the mace is 6 feet, so there's room on the side. Or let's say the mace, Chas V'Shalom, is not in one piece, and half of them is on one side of the road, half is on the other side of the road, and maybe I walked right in between. Maybe I walked right in between. Ava Yeshlo Mokum Laver, Af Mimetruma Tahar. Similarly, the Medvar Amurim, when is there a halacha that if the mace takes up the entire width of the road, and Tomei, Shemotzei Sholem, that the mace is whole, Ava Meshubba Umfirk, let's say Rechman Slam, the mace is in pieces, Afila Ein Mokum Laver, even if there's no room for me to pass, it seems, between the pieces, Chashinim Shema Ben Prokim Over. We're concerned that maybe I walked between the pieces and I'm not Tomei. The Rosh makes an interesting observation. Usually the word Chashinim means that we're concerned that we're Machmer. Here we're using the word Chashinim that we're Makel. That if the mace is in pieces, we're Chashish that maybe I didn't walk right by the mace, and over the mace, and that's why I remain tar because of Tumas time. So, Rabbi Zalman in the Sefer Evan Ozel gives a beautiful explanation in this Gemara. And actually, I think Rabbi Chaim Briska says the same. He says, our Gemara is teaching us a very important concept in understanding Tumas time. If we think about it, let's think about it. We have a mace.